May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Those of you who have joined me on one of our prayer walks in the last few summers may have recognized today's psalm, Psalm 104. We read only a small portion, but we began at verse 25. When I go on prayer walks, I read the whole thing, which if you're counting up, yes, that means 37 verses and it takes a few minutes. And if you're thinking, oh no, then let me only assure you that 37 verses isn't nearly as long when you are standing looking out at a beautiful pond or glade of trees, watching the squirrels and the chipmunks forage for nuts and the dragonflies flit by. In fact, those are exactly the moments when this psalm is most appropriate, because it is easy to imagine the psalmist in exactly that setting, being awed and amazed by the glory and the beauty of the world around him, and deciding to write a poem extolling that beauty and extolling that moment of being so deeply and profoundly aware of the presence of God in his creation and the way the glory of God is reflected in that creation. For those of you who are curious about the rest of it, it begins on page 735 of the Book of Common Prayer, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. But I wanted to share these first few verses with you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, how excellent is your greatness. You are clothed with majesty and splendor. You wrap yourself with light as with a cloak and spread out the heavens like a curtain. You lay the beams of your chambers in the waters above. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers and flames of fire your servants. You have set the earth upon its foundations so that it shall never move at any time. And he goes on and on talking about the beauty of the world and the amazing balance of it. He talks about the lions who have control of the night, but then the sun rises and human beings are able to come out and till the soil and come to their labors without being disturbed by the lions. And most of all, he talks about the way creation and the way God takes care of his creation and the way there is enough for everyone. About how every single creature has food in its season and finds in God the abundance they need to thrive and to grow strong and healthy. Every single creature, interdependent, interwoven, this creation that reveals the glory of God also shows God's joy and delight and wonder in it. And all are taken care of. All have their needs met. It is one of, you can probably tell, one of my favorite psalms. It's also particularly appropriate for this Sunday of baptism. Because on this Sunday, I want us to take up a new promise in the baptismal covenant. The General Convention authorized at their 2015 gathering for trial use, and which our bishop in April at clergy conference encouraged his clergy to begin incorporating in this diocese. Now, you may have noticed that that promise got handed out to you on a little strip of paper and wasn't actually in the bulletin. That's because I was honestly waiting. So I take the baptismal covenant incredibly seriously. The baptismal covenant is the foundational description of what our Christian life should look like. It's the promises we make as Christians about You probably didn't notice that. And I'm sometimes concerned that we rush to add things to these fundamental, foundational documents in order to meet the needs of a moment, in order to respond to a current concern. And I wasn't sure whether this was going to be one of those things that it's the moment, it's the thing we're worried about now, but in 3 years, General Convention was going to say, oh, let's try this instead. So I didn't want to add it to our baptismal covenant without taking serious time for prayer and reflection and discernment. But this week certainly provided an invitation to that. Because in addition to Psalm 104, the psalm that I love to recite as I stand out looking in the glory of God's beautiful creation, we also had an awful lot of conversation about creation and environmental stewardship in our life outside these walls, didn't we? It was one of those weeks where all sorts of people weighed in on what is a Christian's responsibility and what do we think about creation and creation care. I read statements from Methodists and Lutherans, from bishops all over the spectrum this week, and I realized that increasingly in our modern age, this is something that as Christians we share together. And since baptism is, after all, joining together into the universal body of Christ, I think that it is important that when we add something to our promises, it should be something that other Christians also can embrace. And what I saw this week was that in fact, is true. But more importantly, as I prayed and discerned, I also realized that this is one of those times and those moments when I think General Convention has indeed anticipated what the Christian call is. Because when we are baptized into the body of Christ, when we are baptized into Jesus, his life and death and resurrection, what we do is not just wash away all sin. Because if it were, it'd be pretty dumb to baptize babies. Y'all see Madeline over here? I don't think she's got a lot of sin for me to wash away. She is so sweet. Maybe her mom and dad know something I don't, that's not the most important thing. It's why we baptize babies. We also get baptized and joined with God in the work, his work, of redeeming the world, of restoration and renewal and salvation, in which God is seeking to draw the whole world to himself, is seeking to restore creation to wholeness and completeness, to what it was always meant to be. And that's what our baptismal promises reflect, particularly the last two, in which we promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons and to respect the dignity of all human beings. In those promises, we are recognizing that call to be part of God's redeeming work in the human world. The work of drawing those who are sinful and broken, those who suffer from systems that are failed, places of injustice and violence, and to change them into God's justice and peace. That baptism means an active engagement in redeeming and seeking restoration in the human world. But God is equally found in the natural world. And we have, over the last few decades, become increasingly aware of the ways in which human sinfulness, human brokenness, have marred and destroyed that natural world, too. We all can think of stories we grew up with, of pollution, of destruction, of things that needed to be made right. I know growing up, I had the stories of Love Canal and the pollution in that area, DDT, which almost destroyed the bald eagle. I've certainly seen in my own hometown places that were polluted by misuse of industrial chemicals. I know that part of human life and the brokenness of human life is the destruction of the natural world. natural world too, damage to creation. And I think our church is right in saying that if we are called to be part of God's redeeming work in the human world, we're also called to be part of God's redeeming work in the natural world. And I know that's God's work because has anybody not been really excited when they took the bald eagle off the endangered species list? Thrilled and excited to see them soaring over the Quabbin Reservoir here in this state where they had been virtually extinct? When we have seen a river that only grew up was polluted and cluttered with trash and litter and couldn't be touched, flowing clear and crystal clear? The restoration of the natural world brings us joy and delight. It brings us happiness and a sense of the rightness of things. It reflects the glory of God and God's redeeming work. It reflects the work that God began in Jesus' resurrection and is ongoing and continuing now both among us in our hearts and souls and lives and in the world around us, which in baptism we claim and promise to make our work as well. So it seems like there is no more appropriate time for us to go ahead and add this last promise to our baptismal covenant. You'll see it on the little slip of paper that was handed out. And it reads, "Will you cherish the wondrous works of God and protect the beauty and integrity of all creation?" And our response, as it is with all other promises in the baptismal covenant, is, "I will with God's help." You will notice that nowhere here does it ask you to vote for a particular party, to take on a particular policy position, or to make politics at all. I expect we can all make this promise with great sincerity and yet still sometimes disagree on the correct action to take. But I think as baptized Christians, I think we would be deeply poorer and indeed failing in our calling if we did not take seriously our task of renewal and restoration, of participating in fixing what has gone wrong in our natural world, of restoring what is broken and destroyed and damaged, of seeking to keep that glory, that spectacular beauty available for these children we're baptizing and their children and generations yet to come. So I hope you will all join with me today as we come to that question with a loud, "I will, with God's help." Amen.